Storm, a comedy game design podcast by two guys who know nothing about comedy nor game design. I'm Ben Slinger, and with me as always is Trevor Scott.
And welcome to Love Dedications with Trevor and Ben.
I did have a bit of a... did feel like I had a bit of a radio vibe going on there.
Caller, what song would you like?
Caller, what's your random word?
That's right. We're going to play a game. It's called Click Pitch.
Yeah.
That game we each have a random word generator in front of us on the count of 3, 2, 1 click. We're going to get a word and we're going to dedicate it to each other. And then we're going to take those words and we're going to make it a game design. And then when we're done with that game, we'll throw it away and we'll start again with another game song dedication.
That's right. So, Trevor, I'd like to dedicate this song directly to you, something I hold dear. That word is shatter.
And my word is hill. H-I-double-L.
Oh, hill. Okay.
Hill.
I think we need to get out of this accent before we do die on this hill. Someone throws their phone and it shatters against the wall. All right. shatter and hill. Okay. I'm picturing, just because it's a sort of weird image, a mirror up on just like a grassy hill. Like, what could that be? Like, it's just a full length on a stand, like on one of those rotating stands.
But it's inbuilt into the hill. It's not like it's just sitting there. It's actually like it's an installation in the hill.
Yeah, yeah. But it can rotate around its axis to like face the sky or the opposite direction. Yeah.
Yep. But it only faces... Ooh.
But it can't rotate. Like, it can't rotate.
It can't rotate.
It's, you know, the vertical axis.
What is better? East, west, or is it north, south is better for this sort of thing? I'm thinking north, south, so that you're not continually able to, like, shine...
Reflect the sun.
Reflect the sun. Like...
Yeah, I think it's... Is this some sort of thing where it's, like, it's built to reflect something else? That we don't, you know, understand some sort of other mystical energy.
I'm getting a Goonies feel to this. So these kids, you know, they read off these stories about, you know, the mirror up on the hill. Like all the kids in town try to go up and, you know, break the mirror, and it's like
it can't be shattered. Yeah.
Then they go off and they shatter it.
Oh, they manage it.
And I'm just imagining, you know, sort of like a, you know, what would actually happen to the town if, you know.
So, what was this, like, what mystical energy was this reflecting into, like, some mechanism away. Or, oh, right, yep. Reflecting back? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe there's stories of, like, that it moves on its own.
Yeah.
When you come, you know, it's always at a different point at different points of the day.
Yeah.
If nobody has been around, even if nobody's been around to touch it. Like, you can go up there and spin it around and move it and whatever, but as soon as, you know, nobody's looked at it for a few seconds.
It'll settle at a point, but then you'll come back at a later time of the day and it's moved to a different point. Because it's always sort of moving to reflect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what is it? Is it some sort of supernatural thing?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a cross force. Between a Goonies slash Stranger Things slash like Ghostbustery sort of thing. Like you can have like the original town's founder created this installation. Mm.
So I guess if he wanted to create something to reflect this back, and now it's not being reflected, does that mean it's kind of building up here now in the town? Like something is
basically what
like a signal
what was being reflected back is, you know, maybe it's even a mirror universe or something like that that was trying to take over. Like it could be something, you know, otherworldly like that, kind of like a Stranger Things the upside down
kind of thing.
But instead of it's the back to front.
They come into the back to front. Yeah.
because mirrors only reflect on the horizontal plane. They don't reflect on the vertical.
Well, they do technically. They just reflect light. But yes, as human beings, as using it as a social construct, we generally tend to think of it flipping.
Flip them upside down. They flip them, you know.
Well, they don't actually flip things
at all
that way either. Have you?
Yeah, I've actually read that. Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. Yeah. When you, like, just write on a baggie and hold it up to the mirror and you can see the way it's actually reflecting. But,
yeah, it's reflecting everything backwards at the same time. It doesn't reflect the whole world horizontally.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, the back to front is a good name for it. It's fine.
Yeah.
and that it's more of this portal situation. So maybe then, maybe the fact that it was intact is what was also keeping it closed.
Yes.
In that each of the shards now are entries into this.
Well, I think each of the shards are actually the only thing that they can be, that can protect against this other world. So each of these kids have picked up a shard and they're all protected, but everyone else is fucked in this town.
So is this like things are coming out of the other mirrors in the town?
Could be. I kind of like the idea of you go home and you're talking to your parents and there's just something not quite right. And what it actually is
they've been, like, replaced.
They've been replaced by their mirror.
Yeah.
Their mirror selves. And this is how you can sort of bring it in that, you know, well, you think everything seems fine with your parents, but there is just something wrong. And if you do happen to notice that before the mole was on the left side, but now it's on the right, you know, that's just one of the things. But I think the way that you kind of, you notice that something's gone wrong is when you first look in the mirror after it's been cracked, like there's another mirror behind it, but it's like you're looking at it, but
it's not like a perfect reflection.
It's not a reflection at all because you're looking at the person's back. You're looking at your own back.
Yeah.
And it's why you call it the back to front because it's like, you know, it's not reflecting the world. You're actually seeing
That's cool. I'm kind of almost picturing this as an Alone in the Dark style survival horror thing then, in a way. Because I feel like these shards of the original mirror are like the only things that can kill the mirror entities that have come out. And so, and I feel like those games did a really good job of like creating tension in a space as well. And like, particularly if it's...
I'll tell you now that they were not good games.
No.
I will die on that hill.
I'm not saying they should have like tank controls.
They were good for the time, but they really like
they don't play well.
They don't play well. No. But I love that Lovecraftian that sort of mysterious. Well,
and
I think
there was something about. And maybe this was also, an element of its time because we weren't used to seeing navigable 3D spaces in that way.
The creatures, really 3D spaces.
No. But, even your character was this low poly weird blob. So, I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't work as well in a modern thing. But the fixed camera thing, definitely, you get like a voyeuristic sort of sense or like a, you know, like a found footage, kind of feel about it, which I think could be really interesting. And when you do blend the psychological stuff with actual awkward...
teenagers.
Awkward alone in the dark combat. Where it's like, swing the fucking shot of glass. That missed. I can't turn around. But like, if you could bring that sort of awkwardness of combat into a modern way where it doesn't feel like, I just was not pointed in the right direction when I hit that button and I have to wait for the animation to play out.
Yeah.
But that it's sort of more intentional.
It's Dark Souls-ian in the way that it's like big wind up and then, you know, you've got to almost, you know, choose your right timing. Know that you can get parried, but if you get this in, you're going to-
But almost in slow motion, like- It's not the speed of Dark Souls, and obviously you're not like rolling and dodging all over the place. It's just very much that, yeah, that timing of just trying to get one slash in. Like, you, one cut from this shard and they fucking turn to dust, right? So,
yeah.
But yeah, if you do, if you don't get the timing wrong, they'll push your hand out of the way. They'll try to attack you. Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of cool. Kind of almost copying.
I mean, a bit. I feel like I want to encompass the awkward slap fights of a, you know, 12-year-old school ground. Just trying to get the nerve up to get a hit in.
Oh, there's something about this. I really quite like it. I see it as though you play these four teenagers.
Yeah.
And different parts of the game you're going to be playing. Oh, now we're seeing a scene from this person's house, and now we're seeing a scene from this person's house, and then you see maybe those two get together and they go over to try and help this other person, and when you get there you see, you know,
very
the whole
maniac,
house is destroyed,
maniac mansion, you know,
the whole house is destroyed, and then you go back in time, you see
how that happened.
Person, how that happened, and you know, and then finally you get to the mayor's place, because the mayor's son was the other person of your group, and you know, that's basically the big boss, and they've captured, you know, the new mayor has captured the other member of your group, and they then have that whole, you know, breaking out of the cell that they're in, and you know, having to sneak up, finally meet up with their other friends, they get a shard and, you know,
take out the mayor. Yeah,
exactly.
And then, you know, you manage to repair the mirror and everything goes back to normal.
Except,
and then right
didn't.
At the end, everyone, you know, you look at the mayor's son and you're like, wasn't he left-handed? And then that's it.
That's just... I've been here the whole time. Oh, God.
All right.
That's so cool. I like that.
Yeah. That's cool.
Okay.
Did you click?
Wolf.
Golfing.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. I'm literally getting like the idea of like a sort of a fairy tale golf course, you know, where you've got like Red Riding Hood
wolf,
and the wolf and all these all these different sort of things, but it's just a massive golf tournament. But you know, you can't leave the three little pigs alone, like, because if they get left alone with the big bad wolf, you know. The camera will cut back, and now there's two little pigs.
Okay, I do like the idea of, like, it just starts, maybe not as, like, a traditional golf game as such, but, like, you feel
I'm
like you're just-
I'm thinking Outlaw Golf. You know, those games for
style,
Xbox were so fucking great.
It's like a not super technical, but still, you know,
fun as all fuck.
Fun golf game. But when you start, like, you just, it just, the tone of it is like a regular, you know, golf tournament. But, you know, when you hit your ball over to the first, you know, over the first fairway over near those trees, then yeah, like one, like Little Red Riding pops, Red Riding Hood pops out of the trees before you can hit your next shot and, you know, asks for your help or, he explains what's going on, and essentially, like, in between your golf shots on this tournament, you have to do all these, like, adventure things. And, yeah, save the three little pigs and...
I think each hole is themed with a different...
Okay.
You know, fairy tale sort of thing or whatever it is. And, yeah, you're right. So, you're helping the Little Red Riding Hood out. You see right down the end, it's like, oh, grandmother's house is at the green. Like... Mm. So she's asking you to sort of help you get there, but you didn't realize that at the first tee you saw the big bad wolf, you know, and he was just lurking in the crowd.
So how do you are we making the player soul, like, help through golfing, or is this like a separate thing?
It's a separate thing.
It's just almost just set on this golf course.
It's set on this golf course.
Okay.
Because I like the idea of, okay, and now the next hole is all about Goldilocks. And,
yeah.
You know, you meet up with Goldilocks and you point her over to the house. And so she goes in there and then you meet up with the three bears and it's like, oh, shit, like this is what this is. And
so is it like point and click adventure or something in between? Like, what's the gameplay? What are we thinking? And then it just goes back and it's like, all right, choose your club. Got to move on. You're two under par so far. Like,
it's sort of like an interactive fiction. I think you're just having conversations.
It's just all dialogue-based. Like, yeah, visual novelish.
You can try and talk them out of going
I mean, honestly, that would be... Like, I could see just a visual novel doing this.
Yeah.
For sure.
But it gets fucking gory. Like, we're talking... Like, you do the wrong things.
Yeah.
You fail, you see... Oh, Little Red Riding Hood went in there and you didn't dissuade the...
Big Bad Wolf or whatever.
You didn't...
The hunter to...
Tell the hunter that...
Yep.
The huntsman, you know, that the huntsman's just a big fucking spider.
Yeah, the huntsman spider.
With axes.
8 axes. He's afraid of trees.
He just throws axes at trees.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I fucking love it. He's just got a big bag of axes, you know. He's carrying it around. He's got
it's
a
like an egg
carrying
sack.
It around.
It's got an egg sack of axes. I guess.
They've got a caddy that is carrying their axes around like golf clubs.
Yeah. Axe golf. Is that something? Is that anything? Axe golf?
For those who haven't been listening to every single episode that we've ever done, long time ago.
Because
there was definitely...
It was with Inga, wasn't it?
Inga, and she didn't turn up until like episode 7 or 8.
Okay,
so, very early on, there was a game that, yeah, we discussed that was all about it. A woodsman who hated going close to trees.
Had a phobia of trees, yeah.
It was a VR game, and you threw axes at trees, and that's how you knocked them down.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Still a good idea.
It is. And the fact that we're still calling it back now proves how much we really should have made that game a long time ago.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that this might actually have some legs to it, though. Like, you know.
I mean, yeah.
If you don't talk the huntsman into taking out the big bad wolf.
Hmm.
And that's by, you know, helping them get over their fear of trees because they don't...
Well, yeah, I think you can get to the end of the game and have fucked up every... Like, just left a trail of bloodshed across this golf course as all these fairy tale creatures have, like,
but you
met
shot,
their fate.
You still shot 10 under par.
That's the thing, like- but your score is still only based on the golf shots. It doesn't actually matter.
But if you do really well... At the other stuff, you feel good too.
Yeah, no, it's a moral victory then.
It's a moral victory.
Yeah.
The problem is that if you do well on there, then you actually get strokes added to your golf score. So the best way to get through
you can only move around by
so
hitting the ball there. So you know you have to add extra strokes. So it's like, well, if I'm going
to
stop Goldilocks from murdering the three bears because she's scared and has a shotgun, like, I'm going to have to get there on time.
As I said, it gets fucking gory.
Yeah.
It's just you thought that the bears ate Goldilocks, but no.
No, no. She's from Florida.
Yeah. She's used to
stand your ground.
Stand your ground. Sawn off shotgun.
Yeah.
Right to their face. Like they thought she was sleeping, and it turns out that no, it was a straw doll in the baby bear's bed, and she came down from the ceiling and bang,
Mission
bang, bang,
Impossible style, yeah,
yeah,
yep.
It was scary.
Just right. It was just right.
3, 2, 1, click.
Crossing.
Light.
Okay. What is crossing at the lights? Why did the chicken cross? Is this a story about the chicken crossing the road?
For some reason, number. I wasn't thinking about, like, a crossing that had lights on it. I was thinking, oh, a crossing of a light bridge. You know, thinking that there's this huge light bridge that is that turns off and on and, you know,
So, like a pedestrian bridge across the road, but it's made of light that can turn on and off.
Yeah, you better hope that it doesn't turn off because you're just going to fall. I don't know why my brain went there, but it's like, that's obviously where,
it's like, it's the rainbow bridge from Asgard. Like,
exactly.
But they've taken that technology and just used it everywhere. The Bifrost.
It's literally
a Bifrost bridge.
You know, you push the button to go across and then, you know, it sets it up. But then if you don't watch where you're going and you wait too long and then the red light, you know,
the flashing
red man, the light bridge is kind of just then flashing and then it turns off and the cars can all go.
The flashing red Heimdall. He's just, they've shattered Heimdall into a million pieces and put him in the lights. His spirit.
Oh, God.
He has to turn on the Bifrost bridges that are just fucking pedestrian bridges across roads.
You actually see the little green man is just a Heimdall just putting the sword into the thing and, you know, lights up the bridge and then, you know, he takes it out and he turns red.
Yeah, it's mostly because he's pissed off and he's trapped in there.
The flashing.
Oh, that's the flashing. He's struggling at it, trying to get it out. I mean, what if, you know, Thor learned some things from coming to Earth and brought them back to Asgard? It's like, they've got these cool things called pedestrian crossings. Like, I'm sure Heimdall.
Guess what, Heimdall? I've come up with this great technology. Just step into this. You know, little cage here. And it's like, oh, okay. And it's like, hits it and he just de-atomizes him.
Yeah. All right. Spirit of Heimdall. Essence of Heimdall into each of these lights.
Heimdall, you're unfortunately the only thing that can control the Bifrost, other than me with my new axe. But yeah, I don't want to be in there.
Wouldn't look as good on the light.
Okay,
so what else? What else then? What else did? What else has Thor brought across to Asgard?
That's just one of the things.
It's just one of the things, like phones, or maybe it's not that modern, like fax machines. It's the only thing they could figure out a way to get working. It's using some. It's like Loki's fucking, I don't know, magic or something.
God, there's something about that, and just I'm picturing that he brought across things like, I know, a police department or something like that, you know.
Just, yeah, or meter maids. Going, like, toll roads.
But flying cars.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a game idea here.
No, so I don't. Yeah, let's go. Ruin.
Stereo.
Ruining something in stereo or ruining a stereo?
Exploring ruins.
Oh, okay. In VR.
And then stereo just comes in
stereographic
way. Yeah.
Because it's VR. And you can, yeah.
There's something about ruins. I like ruins.
Okay.
I like that word.
Ruins of what? Is this ancient, you know, anthropological ruins from human civilizations? Is it an alien civilization? Are we looking at?
I like the idea of the unknown.
You're in the future and it's the ruins of our current civilization.
What if it's kind of ruins at the bottom of the ocean?
Okay.
And the reason why you're seeing it in stereo is because, like, there's two cameras on the on the front of the sub.
Yeah. Could this be, so I got an image of, what was that game we started playing? Lethal Company, with the screen. Mm-hmm. Of the showing the, like, outside of the sub and stuff. I wonder if there's a bit of that sort of, like, that real, that was good in how tactile it was with the screens and the, you know, the manual kind of feeling of how you had to pick things up and move them and stuff. So,
and the fact that you can actually go out there in sort of like an exosuit,
Yeah, like you've got to go into the airlock. It like fills with water.
Fills with water, pressurizes.
Opens up and then you can walk out into the dark. Like you're at the bottom of the ocean and you're exploring these ruins. There's like weird fucking fish going past and-
Yeah. Like, and because it's so pressurized down there, like you get hit and-
You fall over and you can't get back up.
The whole thing, you just go-
Yeah.
Absolutely crush you because of, you know, it's these big fucking exosuits.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I wonder how you can make, because I like the idea of being that big, heavy, slow. How can you still make that like fun enough that to move that slowly? Because you want to keep that sense of it. I wonder if you can like add some technology stuff in there where. You've got like little submarine drones that you can send out and view their view of to sort of see further from a certain radius around your suit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when I think about it and think back, Ghost Recon Wildlands or the Breakpoint had like that drone thing that would go out and you could actually tag people and all this sort of stuff. The idea of being able to send that out and sort of go, "Ooh, I want to head over here." So you get over there nice and quick and you go, "Okay, I can plot my way through here because of, oh, I see here that if I step on here, I'll actually crush down into like further down into the ruins and then it'll take me too long to actually get out." And then,
yeah, so it's almost like having to plan this route out. And then what, figuring out what to do when a fucking weird, pale, huge gulp mouth thing comes towards you.
I mean, tries to attack you. What's lurking in the dark? That's the thing. And
what are these ruins from? Like, what are you discovering,
And, just the idea of you can only see out a certain distance. Like, no light is coming from the surface. So, you're in pitch darkness. You've got these two massive spotlights that are sort of out there. You can't even really use night vision goggles because they use infrared and like there's no infrared down here. Like,
no, not unless you're like bouncing light out in some way. But yeah, I think the vision modes could be really interesting there for sure. And just that lack of
the idea that you're literally just relying on cameras.
I think maybe you can almost in a astromere sort of way. I think maybe you can like set out spotlights that telescope up and can kind of mark your way and provide an area of light or a directional light.
What if you were saying VR before? What if you're kind of in like this exosuit? You can actually sort of walk around it. So you're just seeing things on the monitors, and you don't have any glass because glass is too fragile.
So it's actually like it's not a human size exosuit. It's larger than it's like a Voltron size
big sort of big enough for you to sort of walk around a little bit. It's like a mini sub, sort of,
but on legs.
I know there's something about that of just being able to sort of go pull down a monitor over here and say, okay, I want to keep this here, and then pull another one down, and then you've got the monitors in front of you. There's just-
it almost becomes a tactical thing then. And, send out the drones, tag stuff ahead. You've got, like, a topological map that you're building as you go that you send the drones out and, like, okay, tag that spot. There's a thing of interest. Don't go here because there's a ravine that you'll fall down or something.
Yeah. And then- You send one of the drones in and you see a tentacle just get pulled out of the room and it's like
as a tense horror game. Yeah. That could be really cool. And with story and stuff that you're unfolding as you discover things in these ruins.
And you kind of do the whole reach out, close the clamps on these things and you can carry this big slab back. But the idea being that you can only go so fast, so therefore the idea is can you set the diversions with like a drone and that sort of stuff and bring another drone in and because they're the expendable things.
Yeah.
Your exosuit is the thing that's
keeping you alive and that is
So you don't want that to be attacked, but you can sort of send out your drones and send out other things to sort of knock in place and you know, attack the unknowns of the deep.
Mm. Yeah, that's cool.
Something about this, I think this is, you know.
I think it would very much rely on atmosphere, but yeah, with the right atmosphere, that could be really spooky and cool.
Could be. Cool. Could be.
All right. I think we'll leave it there tonight. Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like to find all of our previous episodes, go to podchaser.com/bitstorm. They're all up there. Leave us a review. Let us know what you're thinking. You know, about the podcast or just life in general. You know, just
life in general.
Shoot us a message.
Good. That's all good. We're happy to be here. If you do like the song that we play at the start and end of each episode, that song is called Mount Defiance, and it's off the album Containment Failure by the band Kura Dust. You can check it out at kuradust.bandcamp.com. It's there. It's free. There's other stuff there as well.
Yeah.
2012 sessions.
Check them out.
Yeah.
So, thank you again for joining us this week on BitStorm. I'm Ben Slinger.
I'm Trevor Scott. And I've got a love song dedication just for you. Ha 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 ha.